What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another. I reckon we keep it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of League Pass and Chill. We're back in a. Nah, I don't like that.
You were. Yeah, so, well, that was me. That was me. Yeah. I threw him off. Yeah.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another. Nah.
Hey! I'm shook. I'm just so annoyed.
I'm shook now. You've shaken me.
Shooketh.
I'm shaken.
And Lord said he'd be shooketh.
All right. What? Let me do it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of League Pass and Chill. And we're in a situation where LeBron James might not make the playoffs.
Boom.
Nailed it that time.
That
definitely
was
the
so
first
smooth.
Take of the introduction.
My first take.
Yes.
I'm good at this.
Definitely not smooth. The fourth.
Nice. What did you say?
Yes. What was it?
LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers may not make the playoffs.
They
it might be
are
weird.
Struggling.
It's odd thinking that LeBron might not make it. But that's the biggest story in the NBA right now and will probably be the biggest story for the next few weeks, I guess. Mm. Welcome, everybody. I'm Olga Norlich. I write about basketball for Fox Sports Australia. I'm joined, as usual, by the crew. Next to me is Gardy Natalevitz. Over there, that's across great. Me, we're at a round table.
Does he get ourselves as it now? The crew?
It's a crew.
I'm one part of said crew.
Across me of this round table is Tom Handley. And Ted Smith is on the other side of me.
Hello, Ogden.
But where is Harrison?
Harrison is away today.
He's up the coast. Yeah, relax.
I was
the beach
so natural.
Was
but where is Harrison? I don't know, guys.
There's lots to talk about. You know, the main story, of course, is the Lakers. In the midst of this podcast, we're also going to try and unlock an iPad, which is my iPad. I've lent to Tom. And what I did was I put a password on it that would be easy for him to... I didn't want it to be my passcode that I use for my things. So I gave him one that was easy, but we've forgotten it.
Yeah.
And he's just been locked out.
I'll take what
we've got
people
five
problems
minutes.
For 500.
By the way...
It's going to be a long 5 minutes.
Just before we do find out what the actual passcode is, if we ever do, my guess was 2580, and that has not been used yet. So
yeah,
I just want that on the record in case...
Yeah, fingers crossed that's okay. The real one.
If you're not looking at a phone right now, guys, 2580 is... Like
just
top
a straight,
to bottom.
Straight line down.
Straight down the middle.
Yeah. For all you wannabe hackers out there, it's a good start.
LeBron James and the Lakers. So the Lakers are 2-4 since the All-Star break.
Yep.
They're 4.5 games out of the 8th seed. The Clippers are that 8th seed. They just keep winning for some reason.
Because they hate the Lakers.
Legitimately. Yeah. And here's the problem. Lakers next three games at the Clippers. That'll be
That's
extremely
huge.
Important.
Yeah, wow.
And then versus Denver, versus Boston.
Whose home game is it? Is it Clippers or Lakers' home game?
It doesn't really matter.
But it's the thing, that the whole environment kind of changes, I think, in a way.
I mean, it's a Clippers game?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Just like less people will turn up? Or?
Yeah. It's sure. The crowd, it's not as intimidating anymore.
Steve Ballmer gets a more aggressive front row.
And the Reds and Blues are a lot more calming.
It's actually interesting that the record is 2-4 since the All-Star break, because the All-Star break was also the point where LeBron said he was going to go into playoff mode. So today would be the official day they would have been knocked out of the playoffs because they're 2-4. It would have been game 6 and they would have been eliminated.
Oh.
Right. Get it?
Yeah. I got it. Yeah. When you explained it. That's how good jokes work.
That statement seemed ridiculous this time last week because we saw his defensive effort. Was it against Memphis?
Yeah. Was it against everybody?
It was against everybody except for, we're talking about it upstairs, that game against the Bucks. I thought LeBron played really well.
Yeah.
The Lakers played really well. It was just a shame that they put in an effort like that against a team they can't really beat. They should have been doing that, I don't know, against the Suns, who they lost to
the
earlier.
Only team mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Which is saying something, considering if they were, you know... If they were in the East, they might have a chance.
They didn't just lose to the Suns either. They got blown out by the Suns.
There was
a bad Suns team.
Did they? I thought it was close.
Not as close as it should, like. You know,
as in, it was
Suns.
Was a blowout in
and
the,
then they
the fourth
brought
quarter,
it close,
right?
Yeah,
it was always lost.
There was a story running on ESPN just yesterday talking about how toxic Phoenix is. So I think the Suns might have been reacting to that story as well. But we've spoken about it a few times, Tom. How good this roster is. Not that it's great, but it's a lot better than, 13 wins?
Oh, yeah. The Suns, yeah.
Yeah. Like they should have accidentally won close to 20 games.
You would think, yeah, at least 20 games.
I mean,
they've got the number one pick and Devin Booker, who's one of the best scorers, young scorers in the last 5 or 6 years.
Absolutely. And you'd think they'd take advantage of teams being fully aware they're playing the Phoenix Suns. Like, you know, it's like...
Being a bit lax.
Absolutely.
It's hot here.
I think they've lost to teams that were relaxed against them, that weren't playing their best basketball, and Phoenix still haven't been able to get it done pretty much at all this year. Yeah. So
I mean a lot of that... Sorry, you can obviously just point to the fact they don't have a point guard. Yeah. And they, for some reason, didn't address that the entire season. Mm. When you have a new coach, the worst thing you can have beyond that is a person who's not running... what the coach wants you to run.
We were saying the same thing.
Booker for a fair period of time, weren't they?
We were saying the same thing about the Magic, and all of a sudden they're in a playoff position. So,
but yeah, they are in the East. The other thing with the Lakers is LeBron had 27 points, 9 rebounds, 16 assists today. Like, LeBron is putting up that stat line against the Phoenix Suns, you should be winning that game.
Yeah, but it comes on the defensive end.
Sure. But, like, they only scored 109 points against the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
They should be able to score more. They had Brandon Ingram put up 25, Kuzma 13, and JaVale at 21 off the bench. Otherwise, everyone else was in single digits. Like, the ball movement with the whole, like, playoff LeBron Lakers now is even worse, I feel. Like, obviously, without Lonzo, their ball movement kind of dies a little bit. But even more so now that it's, like, the Brandon Ingram-LeBron James show. These role players around them just aren't getting the touches they need. They aren't getting the opportunities they need, and they aren't stepping up when they do actually get said opportunity. So it's all pretty gross right now.
Yeah, look, I want to give a little shout out to Brandon Ingram because it looks like he's legitimately turned the corner.
Yeah,
right. It, like, he,
but again, it's like
as in it's I know it's almost like why it doesn't matter because he's doing it and they're not going to make the playoffs probably. But I think the fact that he's turned the corner is pretty important, especially when they're probably going to want to trade some people.
I think it's connected to a change in body language and attitude as well. Yeah, they're still losing, but going back to that Bucks game again, you saw people high-fiving, like congratulating other players when you know a teammate made a three. Their body language is a lot more positive in that Bucks game, and I think I'm speculating here, but I think they were all in.
Sorry, just to interrupt. It was the straight down the middle, 2580.
Big up to Gatti.
Nailed that one.
Nice. I think. What was I saying, Tom?
Poor time to interject on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The camaraderie and team chemistry.
Yeah. Thanks, mate. I think the Lakers were all in on that Bucks game, and we saw an adverse. A result for the Lakers after that. No energy. They were flat. The only way they can lose to a Phoenix Suns team, I think, if they were all in the night before.
Well, there's something weird about them with regard to the fact that they have LeBron means that, you know, they should be at least on the trajectory toward becoming, you know, a mentally stronger team, right? But it just seems as though when they're winning, they're together, and when they're losing, they completely fall apart. There's never an in-between, it seems.
You know what's strange to me is I think anyone that's played sport at any level has once been either a younger person on an older team or just a less talented human on a team with more talented humans. And normally what happens is as that less talented person, as that younger person, you're driven to try harder and whatever, work harder by those more talented older people. LeBron James should have been that piece that made every single young player in that Lakers team go, I have to give 100% on every possession because I'm playing next to LeBron James. And if anything, it feels like it's sort of gone backwards. And like, sure, LeBron isn't exactly leading by example when he does the sort of stuff he's doing against teams like Memphis earlier this week. But it still feels strange because like he's almost earned the right to do that. They haven't. Yeah. And it's still happening every single game with the Lakers.
Absolutely. I've used this phrase before, but we see LeBron usually as the tide that rises the boats around him, right? He just hasn't done that with the Lakers this year.
No.
So.
Is it too wanky of me? And it's like an old person thing to say, and we're not old people, but is it a generational thing?
Did Gatti just look at me when you said we're not old people? Because F you, buddy.
We're all in our 20s, and also Ted's here. Hello.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, mate. I mean, you two will get to this age unless you die.
Whoa, man.
That's really the truth.
Fingers crossed.
Oh, thanks, guys. But no, could it be a generational thing where, you know, guys like Lonzo Ball, I get he's injured now, but Lonzo and Kuzma and Ingram, they're part of this millennial culture. And I'm pretty sure would Kuz be not a millennial? No, they'd all be millennials.
Yeah, no, they're all out. Yeah,
he's definitely a millennial.
Like, it's like 1986 or something.
It's, but it's weird. It's weird when millennials finished in 1996, right?
Yeah,
that's like not that.
Yeah,
NBA players are going to be born in 1997 real soon.
Yeah,
as in next season.
Wait, if you were born in 1996, are you a millennial?
You are. So okay. You've just made the cut.
Huge.
But yeah, 1997, you're not a millennial. You're the next one.
We're at opposite ends of the millennial spectrum.
Hey.
Yep.
But no.
We're the same.
Okay.
It's aggressive.
Do we think that could be a thing where they don't, you know, the stereotype is that millennials don't answer well to authority?
Yeah.
Sure.
Could that be in play here?
I don't. When the authority's one of the greatest basketball players to ever grace the court, I think you have to listen.
Unless he's been trying his hardest to get rid of you. Mm. Like, how do they rid
of
you?
Yeah, there is that. That
it's like, you know, when you talk about millennials in professional sport, the difference from between them and the generations that came before them is that, you know, you need to put an arm around the younger guys these days. You need to tailor your coaching. Whether you're a player, a senior player, or a coach, you need to tailor said coaching to an individual. Whereas, like 20 years ago, it was like coaches had an agenda, had the way they did things. So yeah, I think you might be right, man. There's a chance that they're just like, what about me?
I thought that as well the other day, but I looked it up, and across the stretch from I think it was the 19th of January, we'll say, when the trade rumors started to come out, until after the trade deadline, Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma actually upped their numbers throughout that. They didn't slow down at all. So there's no real reason why everyone's saying that they've, you know, obviously affected by the fact that they were on the trade block. They actually played better than they have averagely throughout this season and their entire careers.
You know, that's true. And look, Gutty's mentioned this last week, I think. We obviously can't underestimate the impact that Lonzo Ball has on this team.
Yeah.
On both ends of the floor.
For sure.
That's just the reality. Did we watch the Bucks game? Do we see Rajon Rondo shoot 10 three-pointers in the first half just because he's open and why not? That was one of the silliest things I've ever seen in my life.
He was hitting some of them last year, the Pelicans.
No, he's shooting like
3-10
of them. He's shooting like 40% this season, so like it's warranted that he can shoot them. It just seemed really odd that he kept shooting them. Question on LeBron. Has he wasted this year? He's 34, 16th season. He knew that the team would not be amazing. He knew that it would be a struggle to carry them to the playoffs.
I think he wanted to sign more talent than he got.
This season?
Mm. Yeah.
As in, do you think that... So let's say he's 34, 35 at the end of the calendar year, obviously.
Yeah.
Is next year potentially his last prime year?
I think so, especially with the injury he had this year. It's his first long-term injury that he's had in his entire career. So it's obviously a point that his body's slowing down and how he hasn't really recovered from that injury either.
So, yeah, it took him a while to recover.
Yeah,
that was the main point.
I think he's back now.
I think he's back now. Yeah, it took him a long time. Just,
The way you phrased the question, potentially, he's like, yeah, it is. There's potential there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as in he'll
be on the schneid. But I think without doubt, no way can he keep up the numbers that he's put up for the last, you know, for his career over the next three seasons, maybe two. It's not even for sure that next year he'll be as good as he has been in the past, so...
Yeah, right. I mean, the discussion already this season has been, is Giannis taking over the mantle as the best player in the league? And that's with LeBron already like doing the stuff that he was in the MVP conversation before he got injured. He's playing good basketball. But yeah, you're right. This is a year where, like, and LeBron's got limited years left where it's essentially a write-off. He could potentially miss the postseason for the first time since his rookie year, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And it was his choice. He had his choice of any NBA team pretty much in the league that he wanted to go to, and he chose to go to the Lakers. And I assume he had a hand in the people that they acquired in the offseason, whether it be JaVale McGee or Michael Beasley or Lance Stephenson or Rondo.
Yeah, but it wasn't his choice to miss the playoffs, though. Like we were saying last week, I think.
Really funny.
Yeah, you say it was his choice to... That's essentially what I heard was like it was his choice to come to the Lakers and miss the playoffs.
His choice to join a team, to be the first superstar on a team. And that might be him trying to change the narrative from what happened in Miami or whatever, but he was the first superstar that arrived in LA. He could have been the second. He could have waited until... free agency this year and gone, all right, who's going to LA? I'll join you.
Yeah.
He decided to take the first step. And look, in the long run, we might look back at the Lakers now next season and the year after that, once they've got that second or third superstar in and gone, wow, LeBron started this all in LA, and that might look better for his legacy. Right now, though, he's on a team in the West that isn't making the playoffs, and he's, as you said, 34 in his 16th season, and he's gone backwards.
Yeah, I wonder how much he was banking on Paul George in like this past off season. It was like,
Paul George, this would be my second OKC before LeBron was a free agent, I think.
Yeah, but there has been the discussion all last year that LeBron was always going to the Lakers. Like, there was as much as what's the word for it? Tampering is not a thing. There was definitely
the guys speak to each other. Like, it's just a reality. They're friends. Yeah.
I think LeBron is a dude that we've always assumed, and I think it's true, is like three steps ahead. He's already I think he probably had planned it out that he was going to be in LA this season, like many seasons ago.
Included in those plans, though, was the rap, you know, was Space Jam 2. Like, it's all part of his move out there.
Sure. Yeah, so, absolutely.
I feel like that was the more significant part of the move. And I bet he's basically just betting. He's betting on the fact that maybe the Lakers, me and the Lakers, can get these free agents.
I have one wild theory that I've always thought was kind of funny. How you're saying that LeBron's always three steps ahead.
Mm.
So when LeBron left...
It's a fun traveling joke, but go ahead.
When LeBron left for Miami and left Cleveland with pretty much nothing, do you think he had it in mind that he was going to come back eventually? So he left that team, let it struggle for 3 years. So they developed, they got two or three first round draft picks. They got Kyrie Irving. They failed on Anthony Bennett, but then they got Andrew Wiggins, who they were able to trade for Kevin Love.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, look, this team's got nice pieces now. Yeah, I'm coming back now.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's always said it, though, that's the idea of going to Cleveland and giving, like, providing Cleveland a championship.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there was, like, the historic and, like, the personal thing with that. But no, that made it, like, that made a lot of sense just in general, right? Mm. As in, I'm going to go to Miami. And it just, I don't know, from like an optic standpoint, it just makes sense. I'm going to go to this sunny place in Miami with my best friends.
Yeah, play with my best friends.
Yeah, win some championships in like on the beach.
Yeah.
And then go back to like
Also learn how to run a basketball team from Pat Riley. Like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Look, so that makes a lot of sense.
Who's been more disappointing, Ogun, from your point of view? The Lakers or the Celtics?
So we were going to go into this later, and like, I wrote it down in my thing saying, have the Celtics been the most disappointing team in the NBA?
Yeah.
And I think they have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because just the way they're playing, our expectations of them now have shifted really, you know, wildly to another extreme relative to what they were at the start of the season.
Yeah.
At the start of the season, it was the Celtics in the East and then everyone else.
Yeah.
It's now no longer that. We've got, practically nothing from Gordon Hayward. Kyrie Irving doesn't appear to fit on that team, and there doesn't seem to be that chemistry that we saw last season.
Yeah,
that was the cornerstone of that franchise, right?
And a soap opera appears every time a microphone gets put in front of a player's face post game as well. They just say something that's like unnecessary and just adds fuel to the fire.
See, and that's the main thing, because last season it was, this is a team of, you know, young dudes who grind.
The gritty, grindy players.
Right. Yeah,
we've seen that this year.
Yeah, with this young coach, there's no real drama because everyone knows, you know, their respective roles and that it is what it is. Now you're adding both Kyrie Irving and then the potential of more superstars. You're creating this narrative that's affecting the young players on the team, and it's just not helpful at all.
Yeah.
And so they've obviously just been not that good because of that.
Yeah, when you look at, like, who's been the most disappointing team, you have to first look at what our expectations were.
Absolutely.
And the Boston Celtics are sitting in the fifth seed,
and
they've looked terrible, pretty terrible, not against the Sixers, but against the other top East teams, they haven't looked great. A couple of their losses after All-Star break came against the Bucks and the Raptors, where they kind of got outplayed. So not only are they in the fifth seed, but you struggle to see how they'll come out in the playoffs, because they were our pick to come out of the East as well. And there were a lot of people's picks to come out of the East. Whereas you look at the Lakers, yeah, sure, they're in the 10th seed, but who had them higher than maybe the 6th seed when we were...
True.
The talk around the Lakers was like, they shouldn't make the playoffs, but, you know, don't count out LeBron.
Yeah, it was kind of like there's 6 to 8 spots maybe.
Right.
They're not that far away from kind of what...
One of my thinking is, though, they're sitting, looking themselves in the 5th seed right now, and Philly's in the 4th seed. Do you think they're kind of comfortable where they are because they know they've got Philly's number?
As in, like, they obviously want to win as many games as possible. The fact that they don't have home court advantage is an issue, obviously. But no, like they've always had Philly's number.
Yeah, yeah. They're looking at that first round matchup, being like, you know what? Maybe we don't have to win that much throughout the season.
To be honest,
try and just get past the Philly, and so we get that fourth seed instead of the fifth, so you get home court advantage.
If they get the 76ers in the fourth seed, or if the Sixers get past the Pacers into that third seed, like even Boston against Indiana without Victor is a pretty decent matchup. Mm. So
Celtics have one of the worst away records out of any of the playoff teams. The only ones that are worse are like, you know, Magic, obviously, because they're under 500. And you go to the West and it's like the Spurs. Their away record is terrible, but the Celtics are under 500.
Yeah, they're under 500.
Away. So, you know, Philly wouldn't feel terrible. I think if it did, if that's the way the dust settled, it was Philly with home court against the Celtics, I think that first game would be absolutely huge for Ben and the Sixers.
These Celtics haven't faced the Sixers having their new guys being a part of the team for a good amount of time.
Yeah.
So the Celtics-Sixers was the second game, I think. The first or second game that the Sixers played with their new team.
Yeah.
And so that was a new team that Tobias Harris was obviously just joining him.
He's gone from strength to strength in Philly.
Right. Yeah. He's playing really well. He had a really good game today.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Like he's just the perfect player for that system.
I'm so glad he's under more of a spotlight now because it's
totally.
Well, sometimes he looks like the best player on this team.
As in he's almost the most reliable scoring option on that team.
Yeah, he might be the best scorer. Yeah. He's definitely the most versatile scorer. You might say Embiid's like a more dominant scorer.
And he's a character. He's like anti-Butler, where he seems like a kind of, I hate using this term as well, but a bit of a glue guy.
Mm.
He's always patting everyone on the back. He seems to get on well with the vets like JJ and apparently tries to put his arm around the younger players as well.
So. Yeah, he's been a good fit, and that was always a question. As far as just like putting all these, you know, quote-unquote go-to scorers together. But you know, that this Sixers team with Tobias Harris playing the way he is, with Jonah Bolden playing a legitimate role, he'll probably play the five off the bench.
JJ in career form.
Right. And so the Celtics haven't faced that team. Going against that team without having home court advantage is, I think, an issue for them.
I think it'd be a coin flip. Whereas like at the start of the year, you'd be like, hopefully Philly don't draw Boston before the finals.
Yeah.
Eastern Conference finals, obviously.
No, I agree. Now, I want to bring it back to LeBron really quickly, not because...
It's the NBA, mate. Let's do it.
Just because we've got it. It's such a big story. And one thing I wanted to throw at you guys, I had two questions, but let's go with the first one is, should LeBron be shut down?
No.
Okay. So so this was before the loss to the Suns. This the statistical, the percentages out there, right?
Before the loss.
Before the loss.
You can get us the updated stats after the loss.
I couldn't get those for you, Gary.
It's hard to find.
Let's make do, people.
So this is according to Basketball Reference. The Lakers have had a 2.9% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah.
They had a 7.2% chance of getting the top three pick.
Sure.
Right? 2% chance of getting the number one pick. So it's about the same, around the same likelihood of them getting the number one pick as it is to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Do you go for the playoffs or do you go for Zion?
So is the thinking to potentially shut down LeBron, potentially get a top five pick? The top five picks in this draft are good. After that, that's not so good. But do you do that just to rest LeBron, to give him proper time to recover from, you know, the injury that he had, and save him for next season? Because this season it's not lost, but you're not going to win championship this season.
No, yeah. Not until that 2.9% chance is down to zero.
Yeah. You know, the really douchey answer to this question, and it's one that... like, kind of boils my blood a little bit, but it came up in my head, and I think it's kind of funny. Is like,
say it.
what were their chances when they were down 3-1 to the Warriors? What was LeBron's chances? What, 0.1? LeBron got it. Yeah. Like that's the douchey answer. The real answer is I think the Lakers have lost too much in the past few seasons. These players are so used to losing. Even if they miss out on the playoffs, the right thing to do is try to figure out how to win with this team and this core of young players alongside LeBron James.
Yeah.
It's a really bad look for LeBron to come over and then you go, yeah, this season's a failure. Even if then, like, they're probably not going to make it. Wait until they just can't, like, officially cannot.
So what if I tell you, though, their last six games at New Orleans, a team they've struggled against.
Sure.
At Oklahoma City, against Golden State, at the Clippers, against the Jazz and against the Blazers.
Don't care.
But yeah, making these pushes towards the end of the season, towards the playoffs, is very valuable experience for anyone going forward. To have to learn how it is to drive through that. And if they make the playoffs, any kind of playoff experience for these young guys is valuable at this point.
I didn't say shut down the young guys, though.
Yeah, no, but like, if they don't make it. But it's not going to be the same push if it's not LeBron as well.
I get
it's just
that.
A different team.
Yeah,
I know.
But then you just give them free run, let them make the push, I guess.
Well, I'll look back to, again, that Bucks game. The last minute or so, they were down. Lakers were down by about 4 or 6. They had to go inbounds, and B.I. was just like, get it to LeBron, get it to LeBron. So he failed to notice that there was a defender in front of LeBron and a defender behind LeBron. So when he tried to throw it to LeBron, the other team got it. So it was like, well,
how to make a turnover, 101.
It's like you need like, we fail our way to success. So hopefully Brandon Ingram can learn from that.
Next time.
And put himself in positions down the stretch. Like Tom said, they need to try and win games where they have to win to learn what it's about, because they've just been going through the motions of playing basketball since they all got there. Mm. And LeBron gets there and is like, all right. No matter what our expectations were for the Lakers, LeBron's Lakers this year, LeBron 100% had it in the back of his mind, I want to go to the finals. I'm going to be the first man to go. Would it have been 10 times in a row?
Nine, I think. Would this be it?
Too many.
Yeah. Like he that figure. Would have been his goal, and he would have let his players know that was his goal. So, again, it's valuable learning experiences, and that's why they need to play with LeBron. LeBron has to keep on playing while there's still a mathematical chance.
All right.
They need to put the onus back on winning.
Outlandish idea, coming from the flip side of that. If they do shut down LeBron,
they trade LeBron.
No, the thing is, well, they do, right? So there's been a lot of tension around Luke Walton this entire season. You fire Luke Walton LeBron the last little bit happen. In the season,
play coach, LeBron
and
play
then
coach.
LeBron is your head coach for the remainder of the season.
If you're like Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Josh Harden and Kyle Kuzma, if you're those guys, and LeBron James, who officially doesn't have power, just try to trade you. Are you going to react well when he gets power?
Yeah.
And has the actual ability to make decisions about you and your career?
Yeah. You're right. Obvious.
It's crazy.
The obvious answer.
I know how crazy it is.
Just about what?
You know. The obvious answer for player coach would be Lance Stevenson.
What an energy guy he would be. Yeah. Imagine his halftime speeches. I would want to sit in that room. Oh my God.
Just sitting there in the locker room doing like the air guitar, and they're like, can you give us some tips? He's like,
yeah. Last question on LeBron before we move on is, if you're a superstar free agent, or at least a good free agent coming up, there's going to be a bunch of them, do you want to play on these Lakers? You have LeBron, who probably isn't I don't think is the best player in the world right now. I think Giannis has a case. I think Kevin Durant has a bigger
KD,
case.
KD
is the best player in the world. Yeah. So you got this guy who's about to turn 35. Okay, LeBron's about to turn 35. He's not going to be the best player in the world next season, probably. And he just tried to trade his entire roster for Anthony Davis. And like, there's clearly some chemistry issues within that team. If you're a Klay Thompson or a Kawhi Leonard or a Kevin Durant, do you want to join that, or do you want to join, say, a Bucks team that has room for a max player? Or do you want to join the Knicks or the Kings? Or the Clippers.
Whoa, it feels like I'm in a bizarro reality.
100%.
That's legitimate.
The Kings and Clippers are the two preferable California teams.
Do I want to go to the Kings or the Lakers? Now it's a real chat.
Legit, 100%. But that's the reality of this. Uh-huh. And so if you're that free agent, do you want to join the Lakers? Or do you want to join one of those teams that appears to have a future and seems to have at least some sort of chemistry and like an environment that seems healthy?
Yeah, me personally, I'd want to go to the Kings. It seems like a fun basketball team to play on.
Totally. It's a really nice arena.
Young players, they're just in the new arena.
Nice restaurants around the arena also.
I think the
nice
way...
restaurants around Staples too. Go on.
I think the Lakers' best avenue to get elite talent is to target a young free agent and say, LeBron isn't going to be here forever. This will be your team within a number of years. But in the meanwhile, let's try and win one with the King. You know, but in two or 3 years, the reins will be given to you. So maybe Kyrie.
It took us all a while just to be like, wait a minute.
That one in there.
I mean, for me, if I was a superstar free agent, first of all,
How exciting.
I know, right? Congratulations, Gardy. You've done so far.
The great position.
What a transformation.
your bad knees and everything.
Yeah.
Yes, my left knee hurts, guys.
Oh, same.
But yeah, I wouldn't let the Lakers know that. I think the Lakers is still the Lakers, right? And as Ted said, there is kind of an expiry date on the LeBron James dominance of the LA team. It's not your full responsibility to turn around this losing organization. You can kind of be a part of the team that kind of restarted the Lakers franchise and organization and the huge history that's behind it. There's been years of defeat now and failure. You can kind of be part of that new era, that successful era of the Lakers. So I think it makes sense. As like the Kings and the Clippers are fun, but they're fun because right now there are no real expectations on them. They're kind of just winning with a bunch of young dudes and a bunch of hardworking dudes, and that's what's fun about them. I don't necessarily think adding like a huge superstar free agent makes them like more fun than the Lakers.
Yeah. Sure. They're just super fast.
So speaking of young and fast and winning, not winning, Trae Young.
Definitely not winning.
Trae Young has been playing some really, really impressive basketball.
Called it
late. I think a lot of us, including myself, I don't know who else around the table did.
Everyone but
yeah, that was me too.
Yeah.
Yep.
We thought this Luka Trae Young trade was a complete bust for the Hawks, right?
Idiots.
Over the past five games, Trae Young's averaging just under 35 points a game, 10.4 assists a game, shooting 48.9% from downtown, which is really impressive on a lot of attempts.
He's on some distance attempts as well.
He's looking so comfortable from 38 feet.
Yeah.
it's outrageous. It's not a sentence that should exist.
Yeah. But he is. It looks like a little kid shooting as well. I was like, what are you doing?
he was shooting at historic lows to start the season. He's back to like 33.4% from downtown, which is getting respectable. Yeah.
And he makes them fun to watch as well because he's enjoying himself. Did an alley-oop for Collins the other day. Collins got it as he was twisting and did a reverse slam alley-oop.
I saw that.
And Trae Young, like, both arms in the air, just like did the Toyota jump. It was great. I was like, you want that from your teammate. Before we delve further into Trae, I've got a quick quiz for you. When Trae Young scored,
I haven't studied for this,
30 points for a fourth game consecutively, he was only the fourth player to do it. I already told the answer to Tom, so Tom.
Yeah, can't. Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
He was the fourth player to do it. Can we name the other three rookies that scored 30 points in four games consecutively?
So Michael Jordan is one of them.
Absolutely.
Ding, ding, ding.
I saw the list as well. I know it. And there's a name in there who I didn't know because I'm...
How historical are we going here?
We're going way back. Hey.
No, we're not. Jordan's the oldest player on the list.
Oh, LeBron?
No.
No?
Steph? Did Steph do it?
Steph didn't.
Wait, say the stat again, sorry.
Rookies to go four games with 30 points.
Okay, so not...
In a row.
Okay, so I'm not going to...
Back to back.
Look, I'm going to say some names. Luka's not on the list.
No.
Tyreke Evans?
Nope.
Ooh. Blake Griffin?
That's a good guess. That's another good guess. One of the most impressive rookies of all time.
But are these wrong?
Yeah, they're wrong.
Okay, they're bad guesses.
One started as a point guard and one was an elite big.
Was an elite big?
Yeah, it was. They're both well retired, but were both playing in the 90s.
And, Shaq?
Nah, that's a good guess.
In the 90s?
One. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
When did Hakeem play?
It's David Robinson.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And Allen Iverson. Trae Young's in some really good company. I know it means nothing in terms of like the trajectory for his entire career, but to be on a list with Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, and David Robinson is really good considering a lot of people in our world had some pretty big doubts on this kid.
He was struggling.
Just dropping that, was it 46 and 16 or
47? 49 and 16.
I mean, there were 16. Four periods of overtime.
Yeah, that's true. But a lot of time, you know what? To do it.
He really wasn't good in those last three periods of overtime anyway.
I think he was like over for his last
so
six.
I think he was already like 45 or 47 and like 15.
Yeah.
But the line he finished with is something that a rookie has never done in NBA history. Yeah. Which is extremely impressive.
Which was against Guardian Fantasy because he's almighty.
I'm beating you though.
Are you?
This week.
Ooh,
yeah.
Tension.
We've got the two highest scores this week.
Can I just say, we smashed that quiz, you and I.
As in, like, all of. Where, wait, yeah.
No, it was just like there's a lot of options there, like that come to mind.
They play Kudos and Tommy.
It took me like five or six minutes to get it. I spat out a bunch of names outside. Mm.
As in, to be honest, a lot of those players would have stopped playing before we started watching the NBA.
Oh yeah, I forget how
yeah, I was, you guys. Yeah,
are. Because we just because of read a book for once. Just because of how like humans are able to comprehend things at certain ages.
It's also the access to YouTube.
That's what I was going to say. Humans do have access to YouTube.
Yeah, and the internet in general.
You're assuming we're humans.
Oh,
a plot twist.
David Icke coming to Sydney in a couple of weeks, people.
Who is
who?
David Icke. He's the godfather of the lizard people.
What? How do you know him? And secondly, how do you know he's coming here?
YouTube, and there's posters in Marrickville.
His tickets have the date. Yeah. Is he the godfather of the lizard people or the lizard people theory? Because that's two very different things.
That deserves clarification, Guardy. <I'll follow up. laughs> he is godfather of the lizard people theory. But like,
very different.
It's legitimate because it was...
No, it was given to him by Jesus
while he was on a plane, and he was like, and Jesus was like, see that mountain down there? Go there and I'll give you all the answers. And the answers was lizard people.
That's such a difficult thing. Like, you're literally flying
over it.
He could have been anywhere on a flight and be like, you see that mountain right there? Go to that mountain.
You know what's crazy though?
Impressive that he found it.
And like, we don't want to delve too much into this, but that's basic. That's like,
I kind of do.
That's almost Mormonism.
Yeah.
And that's really prominent in big swaths of America.
Man, don't try and get tickets. There will not be many tickets left. David Icke sells
out. Use the word.
Like, as in...
Well, pretty much
Joseph Smith went
did
to...
Did we just
to, like,
promo
a
lizard person?
And more <theory. laughs> Don't get that
surely,
too
surely
dynamic religion.
Sarcasm, right?
No, if you're part of the, you know, tin hat wearing, you know, conspiracy theorists...
Don't look at me.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
I was just pointing.
I was looking at you to see if that was, you know, offensive to your people.
It's not, because, like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just search for the truth consistently.
All right, who did 9/11?
That's nice. That's nice.
Okay. Yeah, no, not getting into that one. Yeah, not getting into that one.
Don't say that lightly, Tom. Don't say that lightly.
Speaking of, not conspiracy theories, but just interesting things that could happen.
I'm so excited to hear where this goes.
Please do.
No, so right now the Magic are the 8th seed and the Bucks are the number 1 seed in the East, right?
There you go.
Or are they?
Okay, So that's the situation right now. The Magic's last 5 games, I'm going to just read them out to you. So, at Toronto, they won.
Oh.
The Magic won in Toronto. Oof. What an impressive win, right? They were
It almost sarcastically.
It's no, because it was surprising. Mm. They were at New York. They lost. Let's forget about that. They were against the Warriors. They won. And they were at Indiana, and they won. So, they're somehow beating really good teams, like legitimate playoff teams and contenders, and they're losing to these trash teams.
Sure.
So we're going to assume
that was a really big sample size.
So no, it's their current form.
Sure,
right?
Go on.
And I assume they got the Cavs tomorrow.
So
they're probably going to lose to the Cavs, probably.
Coin flip.
But they seem to be beating good teams. They're looking kind of interesting. Aaron Gordon is playing fun, and Nikola Vucevic is cool.
Cool is the right word for that one.
Effective yet uncool is how I would describe it.
True, true.
Yes.
Maybe the least cool.
Can they challenge the Milwaukee Bucks? Because based on my theory, the Milwaukee Bucks, a good team,
and based
is a team they've been beating recently.
The Magic beat them by 20. Also, Giannis wasn't playing, but, beat them by 20.
That's the MVP.
So we spoke about the tinfoil hat, so I'm just going to get you to remove that.
Yeah.
What? But in Olgan's defense, Magic went 8-3 throughout February, and here's the big shocker. They had the best defensive rating in the NBA during February.
You see, though, like, this is a point I've brought up in the past, or actually upstairs earlier today.
Also,
so I guess
past.
That is the past. Yeah, yeah. The past. We were kind of
everything's the past, Cuddy. Oh my literally God. Everything.
Except for this is now.
That's not a conspiracy theory.
That's okay.
Can I speak?
No,
I'm just glad everyone's coming around to the theory.
No, but I was kind of making the point that in a weird way, the Magic are this like less talented version of what the Bucks were, where it's a really long, athletic roster that can trouble. Teams like the better teams because they're kind of a different look, and they kind of I guess can shut you down when they all do turn up and it kind of makes sense that they turn up for the big games, you know, like when it is like a statement game, they'll all turn up and they'll all work hard. I don't think they have the talent to beat a Milwaukee Bucks roster who are essentially a better version of the Magic. But there's positive signs in Orlando because this is kind of how the Bucks got started. They just don't really have that transcendent talent like Giannis.
In that comparison, who would you say is the Giannis of the Magic?
Well, they don't have that. Yeah. I guess you'd say Aaron Gordon. I'd say Aaron Gordon.
Isaac, like just physically.
I just mean in terms of someone who can like take over a game.
Like he'll be the MVP of that
game. Like Aaron Gordon's the most important player, I would say.
Yeah. Vucevic.
Yeah. Well, okay, sure, but as in like in terms of a person who can handle the ball.
Like a perimeter creator kind of guy.
Yeah.
I get that. Something interesting which like we're going to end this now-ish.
Aww.
Very soon-ish. I know.
But we're having so much fun.
What you just said there just made me think of, remember the big streak the Warriors went on a few years ago?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, obviously the historic streak. Mm. And it was the Bucks that snapped it. And it was interesting because it was like, oh, the Bucks have this really long team that can challenge the Warriors. And like that, is that going to be the new norm for a lot of teams in order to beat this team? That's probably going to win for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, now it's cool. We're in a position where the Bucks are the number one team in the East. There's a good chance that they play each other in the finals. I wonder, are we almost underestimating, you know, everyone's saying, oh, it's a walkover. The Warriors will win the championship. Are we maybe underestimating the fact that, you know what, this team has been groomed for a number of years to beat that
streak was without Kevin Durant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And without Boogie Cousins. So they've also had two generational talents onto this team. But their bench has also gotten weaker as well, you could say. But
also, they've gotten older as well, like Livingston and Iguodala aren't
what they used to be.
But we spoke about this before earlier in the season when the Bucks beat the Warriors in a really good game. I think they scored 82 or 83 points in the paint. But defensively, not just against the Warriors, but everyone in the NBA, they're the best at forcing teams off the three-point line.
Mm. Yeah.
So if you can do that against the Warriors in a big spot
and score a lot of points, they can.
You know, yeah, and then, I don't know, if they can't stop Greek Freak, which no one can stop the Greek Freak, they're a shot.
Well, yeah.
That's why they play the games, man. Like, they're a shot.
Yeah, the Warriors are very weak in the paint. And we were saying it last week how Boogie Cousins is so prone to getting in foul trouble. So, you know, you're two or three fouls away from having a very good chance on the inside against the Warriors.
Before we move on, can I just say something that I like?
You say move on before we finish off.
Yeah, okay.
That is the trajectory.
Yeah. I really like that we're talking about the Bucks. I listen to a lot of podcasts. Yeah. And they don't get spoken about enough unless it's a comparison between James Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo for MVP.
Yeah.
Right? Like we didn't speak about the Raptors today, who are the second best team in the NBA, but who did we speak about?
The Lakers
coming 10th. Celtics struggling, right?
Man, I'm loving this pat on the back segment.
No. But
look, this is the opposite of that.
It's also an indictment. I'm glad we spoke about the Bucks. Otherwise, we'd fall into this category of, you know, looking for misery. Like we talk about Lakers because they're struggling. Celtics because they're struggling. We talk about the Pelicans because of the AD drama. But we don't talk about the Bucks enough. This is our world, right? Not just us. The Raptors don't get a mention. Indiana have been super impressive since losing their best player. Mm-hmm. We don't chat about
they really have.
The positive things. And, you know, I think it's just an indictment on our society as a whole.
I
take it back. We're trash.
I'd follow up and almost go against what you said. I don't think it's an indictment that we're looking for negativity or we're looking for conflict necessarily, even though that is something that especially the news media does search for.
We've seen the results of our videos.
Right. Yeah. Conflict works. Yeah. Right. Just from a media perspective, from an interest perspective. I do think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Los Angeles is a giant market. Boston is a really big market.
These are the two biggest teams.
We speak about Philadelphia a lot. That's a big market. Mm. Milwaukee is not a big market. So that's why we speak about LeBron, because he's in Los Angeles. We speak about AD, because he might go to Los Angeles. Mm. We speak about the Celtics, because Boston is a big market. And Kyrie might go to Los Angeles.
But isn't it like a chicken and the egg thing? Like those markets are big because we continuously talk about them.
Correct.
No, they're also in two of the biggest cities in America.
Yeah, but we don't live there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Milwaukee's also like a little bit a victim of their own success. They've been so consistent, so dominant this season that there hasn't been like a swing for us to go like, wow, Milwaukee have been really good this month or this week or whatever. It's like, no, they just keep on winning. They're the only team that have officially qualified for the playoffs.
That's fair.
But yeah, like, I mean, they're the best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
They're 48-15. The Warriors are 44-19. They have been incredibly dominant this year.
Still haven't mentioned that they're also going to add Pau Gasol to that team as well.
True. Yeah. Most likely to play 6 minutes.
Yeah, but that's a good 6 minutes. You've got to come in and play six.
So it's a good locker room.
I was driving to work today and I was thinking about that trade. And the one thing that stuck with me was how differently would we think about Pau Gasol if his name was Paul?
I've always wondered, like, yeah,
if he was just Paul.
If he was Paul Gasol, he wouldn't be in the NBA.
No, like, yeah, because he wouldn't have that European excitement.
It was
about
just like, oh, it's, that's Paul.
Yeah, and Mark's only sad because he spells his name with a C. also, Bledsoe, 4-year extension, $70 million. Yeah. So that's,
and he balled out on that day.
Get that money. Yeah.
Yeah. Out.
That was against the Lakers, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pau Gasol coming in with two championships is definitely going to help that locker room.
100%.
Because they need it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's that little, like, little ticket.
Yeah, no, no. It can only help.
Yeah. Something I said to you last week, and another reason why I think the Bucks maybe don't get the love or the exposure that they perhaps deserve is the fact that Giannis is Greek. He's international.
Yeah.
Mm. We have this international dude who's an MVP candidate, but everyone's still talking about James Harden because he's an American dude.
Yeah.
Right, and so I think that has an impact. Just because
I think, like, it'll change if he wins MVP this year.
I think
that'll add.
Did you guys think it was weird how under the rug that the Giannis to the NBA documentary just kind of slipped by?
Finding Giannis.
There wasn't really much like public publicity about that.
Under the rug wasn't a thing before you said it.
Yeah, yeah, what's the phrase I'm saying?
No.
Under the radar?
Sweep something under the rug?
Yeah.
That's not the context, though.
You can do that.
Well, we all understand where I was getting towards in the end.
I like it, bro.
But yeah. Hey, word's got to start somewhere. Yeah. But yeah, they don't know that weird. Like, it's a kind of a good story, and it just didn't really...
It was really interesting. It was an interesting watch.
Especially his MVP year, and he's leading the best team to the best record. Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah. You're right, I guess.
I only saw it on YouTube in my, like, recommended things. I was like, oh, that actually came out.
I also found it funny, like, just the title, like, Finding Giannis. I just, like, if someone were to be like, oh, you gotta go find Giannis in that group of people.
Yeah, it's so easy to find.
I'd be like, it's so easy to find Giannis.
He's that guy.
He's that guy. Yeah. He's the dude up there. Yeah.
I like Finding Giannis, the rom-com.
Finding Giannis.
Look, let's end it there. Actually, oh, no. Yes, we will end it here. I find it interesting, though, that we spoke about the big streak that the Warriors went on that was coached mostly by Luke Walton. And in the same podcast, we spoke about Luke Walton being fired and being replaced by a LeBron player coach.
How much did Luke really do to that streak, though? That's the question.
Shut up. He did everything. Yeah. Not like statistically in history. Yeah. They're all Steve Kerr's wins.
I mean, he didn't derail it.
Yeah.
Do something.
It's true. He derailed the Lakers this year.
Wow.
Oh.
LeBron player coach. That's how it is. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us for this big old chat about LeBron James in Los Angeles. Gotti has a thing to say.
It's
are you going to mention the award again?
No. But it is something that we should mention at the end of every podcast, and we sometimes forget.
If you
do enjoy the podcast, if you are liking the stuff that we put out, let us know on iTunes. Give us a rating. It certainly helps us out. So
we're on Twitter at Fox Basketball. We're on Facebook, Fox Sports Basketball. We put these podcasts out there. If you have opinions on them, good or bad, let us know.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily new to this, but this is a relatively new podcast.
Season 1.
Right. And you know, we're learning. We obviously want to grow with you guys. We like the idea of being a conversation that you guys can be a part of.
Yeah.
And so we want you to be a part of that. Our rating on iTunes just moved back up to 5 stars.
Hey.
I don't know how that works, but we are 5 stars now.
That was me.
Oh, damn.
That wasn't me.
So yeah, go and like us on our socials and things like that. Tell us what you think.
Just want to slip in some personal promotion as well. Follow my culinary Instagram page, Hand in the Cookie Jar.
Is that a real thing?
Did that just happen?
No. Not a real thing.
Would work, though. My name's Tom Handley, Hand in the Cookie Jar.
Well, also, speaking of hands, there's a handful of people out there that have been listening to our podcast since we started, and, you know, big ups.
Yeah,
thank you guys as well. So
we'll drop a mailbag soon.
Ooh, that's
so we
fun.
Can answer questions.
Personal questions.
Really personal questions.
Just about Gutty's knee. Awesome.
It's not great, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.